Let's pray. Holy Spirit, now fall upon us. Lift us up into the heavenlies in Christ, so that we might see the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Can you imagine our gospel reading with me this morning? Inside the cramped room, the Pharisees can barely suppress their smiles. In fact, even a few of the younger ones swallow chortles as the Sadducees, their longtime foes, stand there like bullfrogs. Those Zadokite priests standing there like bullfrogs with twitching eyes, mouths half open, emitting croaks. But, and then the Sadducees hopping away, dazed, confused, and the Pharisee grins, splitting their faces, the tzitzit tassels shaking above the dusty floor with silent laughter. That Galilean's okay. You know, he can't be really too bad of a person. He just put those snob priests in their place. I'd like to see them discount the resurrection from the dead again. We do not believe in the resurrection of the dead because, well, we only hold to the five books of Moses. And in the five books of Moses, there is no mention of resurrection of the dead. Covered heads nod and bob in assent. They can still see those bullfrog eyes widening as Jesus quotes from Moses himself, the Torah itself, and proves with a single phrase that there is a resurrection of the dead. Even in Moses, they can still hear his voice. You've heard, Sadducees, right? About when Moses was there at the burning bush. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had been dead for hundreds of years. And God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am, not I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're still alive in God's presence, and they will still live again. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Resurrection. Brilliant. Simply brilliant. More and more Pharisees stream into the tight quarters. They've heard about the debate. They cluster around the Nazarene, slapping each other on the back, their phylacteries clacking as they do so. And one, a younger man, raises his phylactery-covered hand. A question, teacher. What is the greatest law in Moses' Torah? You've quoted from Moses, you know the Torah clearly. What is the greatest commandment? And there are nods all around. The younger Pharisees are even smiling smug little grins. All know the answer to this question. It's a test. We've had our run-ins with Jesus, but he's going to show his true colors now. Jesus, what is the greatest commandment of all? What is the halachic rulings that you would endorse? What is the ethical agenda that you would endorse? He's going to prove that he's really a Pharisee at heart. We knew it all along. The nods, the grins. Jesus, what is the greatest commandment of all? It's a tiny room, all of the Pharisees pressed in. And there we are, sprinkled in among them, our wide tzitzit tassels brushing up against the stone floor, our leather phylacteries with those scripture passages tied to the backs of our hands and our foreheads, snapping as we clap each other on the back. Jesus, what is the greatest commandment of all? What is the pressing ethical agenda of our age, Jesus? And we are nodding at one another. We know the answer to it. It's a test. And so we question Jesus. He's going to endorse our agendas. He's going to endorse what we want done. What is the most pressing ethical agenda of our age? Well, of course, it's abortion. Well, of course, it's care for the poor. Well, of course, it's care for the environment. Well, of course, it's religious freedom. We all know the answer. We've had our run-ins with Jesus before, but he's going to show who he really is. He's going to endorse our agendas. He's going to show that he's really a Pharisee at heart. Jesus stands there in our midst, that smile playing about the corners of his mouth, that puzzling smile that prompts more questions than answers. Jesus points to the phylactery strapped to the back of our hands. You know the answer. You already know it. It's there, written in scripture, scraps of scroll rolled up in those phylacteries. Hear, O Israel. Listen, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is just like it. As Moses says in the book of Leviticus, you like Moses, so I'm quoting more Moses. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We sort of look at each other. He's answered well. He got the question right. But something's wrong, because he's still smiling. Something's not quite right. And before we can ask a follow-up question, Jesus turns the tables on us and questions us. Tell me, what do you think about the Messiah, the Christ? Whose son is he? And our brows are furrowed. What does this have to do with the greatest commandment? David's son? Everybody knows. We knew the answer to your question. You knew the answer to ours. Okay, David's son. Jesus' smile widens. David's son. Then why is it that David calls him Lord, as in Lord God? Psalm 110, we all know it. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Now, if the Messiah, the Christ, is David's son, why would David refer to his son as Lord God? And suddenly we are the ones standing there now with our eyes twitching like bullfrogs, our mouths half open, emitting little croaks. But. Do you see what Jesus has done, sisters and brothers? We Pharisees all have our own agendas. Our moral agendas, our political agendas, our church agendas. And often they are very right and very good. Scriptural even. And yet, we question Jesus about them. We look for him to endorse our agenda. We look for him to agree with us. And in one sense, he does. Yep, it's what you already know. You know the answer. It's strapped to your hand and to your forehead. Love. Love the unborn. Love the poor. Love the creation. Love not hurting and forcing other people. Love. But then, Jesus turns the tables on us and questions us. What do you think about the Christ? What do you think about the Messiah? What do you think about me? Whose son am I? And Jesus quotes Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord. And his point is clear. I'm not just David's son. I'm also God's son. And that means that that scrap of scripture tied to the back of your hand and on your forehead begins with me, with listening to me. Hear, O Israel, listen, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. The Lord, I am the Lord. All of it begins with me, loving me, following me. Sisters and brothers, this is where our love begins. This is where all of our agendas, political, churchly, whatever, this is all where they should begin and where they should end. We're often very right. We often have the right scripture passages tied to our hands and our foreheads and the right arguments. But if it does not begin and end with Jesus, it's no longer God's agenda, because Jesus is love himself. And so Jesus questions us. We're all right. Yes, yes, you're right about abortion. Yes, yes, you're right about the poor. Yes, yes, you are right about creation care. You're right about it. But begin it and end it with me, for I am your Lord. Begin with love of me. Jesus questions us so that he might bring us back to the good news, the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.